Hi there, this is Conscious Living and on Empower Radio. I'm Wendy. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate your time. Hope you're having a good day. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, daytime, nighttime, anytime, it's always the right time to connect and make time for yourself and give yourself an opportunity to upgrade and tune in. I've got a special guest that I really enjoy talking to, Stuart Pierce, with me today. He's written a lot of stuff. The things that I connect to of his work, The Heart's Note, it's a book, and then also his wonderful angel cards. These are like the Atlantis, Angels of Atlantis cards. And so they're different colors and shades. And we're going to talk about a lot of stuff today. First, I want to give you an idea. I booked this a month or two in advance and just felt there would be a right time. So in the email today, I get the thing on Alive Inside, which is a wonderful film talking about how Alzheimer's and dementia patients revive, rejuvenate, refresh, come back to the land of the living after hearing music and tones. And it just, I thought, oh, what perfect timing. And Stuart knows a lot about this kind of thing because voice is his, basically his forte. So Stuart, I'm going to turn it over to you and tell me why it would be so essential that right now this music and these little vibrations and words and reminders that song is and tunes and vibrations like that, like singing, are important in our life.
Well, it's very simple, I believe. And then we, of course, make it wonderfully complex. But the simplicity of it is the fact that we are living a time of extraordinary change and transition as we move through the center of a spiritual vortex. We look at our world and we see huge diversity and huge schism. There's much pain around the world. In short, there's a great deal of disharmony. And so here we are in different areas of our life, some of which you've just described or expressed. We're looking into different areas of our lives and we're beginning to realize that if we can bring in harmony, if we can bring in sound, if we can bring in sustained tone through strong breath, through pranayama breathing, if we can really address the way that our voices share the content of our consciousness, both in terms of thought and feeling, we can shift any situation because sound is at the core of creation. And I believe that, you know, what's happening right now is that the possibility of sound, and indeed the probability of its effect on our lives, is really beginning to be known about, is being comprehended, is being felt, because our lives are often in very schismatic states. You know, I've just been with a politician who has just come back from the Gaza Strip. And the horrors that are actually taking place there have affected his life incontrovertibly. And so what we were doing is looking into, okay, so how can he make sense of that and fulfill the noble cause? And he is a noble politician, so fulfill his noble cause, but to stay completely harmonic within his own process so that he's not disturbed or distressed or indeed diseased by any of the corruptions that he was experiencing. Because there may be shells flying through the air towards Palestine, but at the same time, we have human beings who are suffering on a very profound level. And when we suffer to that extent, it's not just our physiology that's disturbed, it's also the psyche. So, sound brings in harmony. And that's what it is in simplicity, yeah.
I want to mention, too, in case you're hearing this show or Stuart for the first time, Stuart's background, a voice coach, 3 decades of helping people, and the laundry list of big star names goes on, but Princess Diana, you might recognize, Anna Roddick with the Body Shop. These are people who have benefited from Stuart's teachings. And then beyond that, you had a transformation during the harmonic convergence. That was in 1987. How did that change you?
Yeah, it changed me absolutely, absolutely, completely. It woke me up to the things that I remember feeling and seeing as a child that I'd switched off from as a young adolescent, as a young adult, because I felt that the rest of the world was seeing what I had seen, but evidently had not. And I'm talking about the preternatural world or the metaphysical world, the multidimensional consciousness of our world. So I was very easily able to see spirit and to see angels and to see, supernatural activities when I was a child. So effectively, the system that we know of that takes us through the education of our lives closed me down, and I allowed that to happen. And then in 1987, I was beginning to awaken. Surely I was beginning to awaken. I'd been awoken almost 10 years prior by the very premature death of my mother. And we were very, very close. We had a very strong soul connection. And so her passing opened up the doorway of my psyche. And so therefore, I, for 7 years, prepared what that was all about in terms of serving those people who came to me. So that when we reached August 15, 16, 17, 1987, I was already peaked. And the occasion was that there I was in in Glastonbury, Somersetshire, which is a very powerful earth energy vortex. For those listeners who are unaware of it, it's the heart chakra of the world. And so where would I wish to be for a huge event such as the Harmonic Convergence? An event, for those of you who don't know, which meant that an astrological portal opened, a grand trine opened within the skies. And it was mentioned prophetically by a number of our great civilizations, particularly the Mayan civilization, who said that on that day or that weekend, 144,000 rainbow light warriors would be woken. Well, there I was serving in a crystal store in the town of Glastonbury that is nestled around the Tor. The Tor is a very very tall, slender hill, so to speak, which is the meeting point of the great ley lines that create the heart chakra of the world. And I felt very tired by the extraordinary energies that were whizzing through this very small town. And so during my lunch break, went to the hill to meditate and to do what all my teachers had done, which was to say, well, if you meditate and reconnect with the source, you will be rekindled with force, which I did. But lo and behold, what I didn't realize what was going to take place. And there I was sitting, meditating, and surrounded by a lot of other people who were doing the same thing. And suddenly I heard 12 extraordinary harmonics, very unusual overtones, very unusual sounds that were vast in their volume. And I opened my eyes, and in front of me were 12 very large orbs, different colors, saying to me, we are the angels of Atlantis, and we are now going to give you a temple of sound healing that you will bring into action in people's lives, which is will be called the Alchemy of Voice, and here it is. And then for the next 3 years, I received very powerful downloadings. And so the sound healing process that we began talking about of moving from disharmony into harmony, of moving from disenchantment into enchantment, because after all, when we are enchanted, we have chanted or we have spelled our way back through magic into feeling the extraordinary feeling of exhilaration, of delight, of pure love, of power, of being in the flow, of feeling ourselves to be beings of infinite potential. And because sound is at the core of creation, as we know from so many of the wisdom books of our traditions or indeed of our cultures on this planet, that as it says at the beginning of the fourth gospel, in the beginning was the word, or if you like, in the beginning was sound, and the sound lived amongst us full of grace and truth. And so what we're beginning to understand is that we have this power that we take so for granted in the frenzy and the intensity of our doing existence, that we forget that we have this extraordinary ability to talk ourselves into sanity, to chant ourselves into hope, or to literally alleviate the pressures of our lives in a few moments just by listening to a beautiful piece of music or a beautiful singer.
It's so
subtle. Angels helped me with the witness of this, because now we're obviously talking about, 27 years later, 28 mm-hmm. years later, in 2014, where I'm now moving around the world and publishing lots of books through FintornPress.com, the two of which you have in front of you. I've been sitting most of the day here in London, England, writing my fifth book, which is all about the way that the angels can move forward in our lives, providing us with the succor, providing us with the promise, providing us with the love that we feel is sadly missing in most of our lives at this time.
The reason I wanted to connect with you is because I always, whenever I talk with you, get something new and something different, unique to add to creation in some form. And so it's a real, I think, restorative process. And so no matter how many books that you have written or in whatever form, way showing, you know, illumination you have shared, it's always new. And it's just amazing how that happens. I know it. I've been there, done that. And yet I want more.
Oh, beautiful.
I think that's human. So it's so fun to connect with you. And I've been the last couple of days, and this is the Atlantis connection, this
yes.
tremendous infusion of lime green, and this is something that's always been powerful for me anyway, lime green color has been bursting through right before I wake up. And I'm thinking, what? And I finally, oh yeah, I'm doing the interview with Stuart. Well, duh. And it's this neon, beautiful lime. And for me, and so then when I'm thinking, well, where's Stuart's book? Because I've had the cards out. Where's Stuart's book? Where I know I put it here somewhere. And the heart's note around the heart that's on the front cover is this light. I'm like, oh, yay. I love it when it works. It just works in ways that we can't fathom. This synchronicity, this flow that we have of connection with spirit. And we just have to pay attention to it and allow that to be more, I think, visible and present and have more, I think, importance in our lives so that we can reconnect with the angelic realms. And you do deal with that in the last part of the book, talking about how to open, to comprehend heart angels.
The 12 great angels of Atlantis, the heart angels, yes. They're immensely powerful in the existence of the so-called history of our planet, which I think slowly we're turning into her story rather than his story. But anyway, they're in Kabbalah, they're known as the Malachim. We know that they were presences that overshadowed the great Melchizedek. What we know as Melchizedek was actually Melchizedek, i.e. the priest kings that came into existence from intergalactic energies to bring the project of Homo sapien and the project of planet Earth into existence. So they're energies that have existed for many, many thousands and thousands of years to help us with these great changes. You know, and what they're teaching is something very simple, which is that consciousness in its purest state cannot and does not die, for it expresses itself. So although we're constantly engaged in the dying process, which is that sort of switching on-off flux, we're only doing it in order to create ourselves. And one of the key ways that we do this, as you've just enlisted, is through the way that we express ourselves in sound. And so the angels come forward in simplicity to help us feel a way, to help us know a way, to help us experience a way of becoming joyously expressive. That, you know, I'm sure you found that there's a constant conversation today where people are asking, well, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? What is my purpose? Which is generally speaking about, well, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And the angels are teaching very comprehensively that actually we're not necessarily supposed to do anything. We're here to optimize our creative energy full of love and joy. It's the love and the joy that we're needing to be experienced. We're here to have a good time. We're not here to have a bad time. So I say to everybody who is not having a good time that it's a signal that you are not in touch with Source and that the angels want to help you with once more reconnecting with Source by feeling delight, by feeling enjoyment, by feeling exhilaration, by feeling love, by feeling joy, and by feeling ecstasy. So let's start doing things that actually are really enjoyable and leave the things that are depressing or challenging or difficult just to be for a moment so that we can then return to them when they need resolution and we can pour all of the delight and all of the fun and all of the ecstasy that we feel into the repository of what that's all about, which is just a reminder of the fact that we're living a density of experience which is human as well as being divine. And therefore, we move back into the embracing of God. That's why the angels are here at this time, so that we can really shift ourselves from being hosts or hostesses to the ego, or rather hostages to the ego, and hosts or hostesses to God, to the source, to Wakantanka. And they're doing a pretty good job from what I'm seeing, because the influence of angelology around our planet is affecting so many people's lives at this time. For the last year, I've been traveling around the planet, and hundreds of people are coming to witness the work. And in fact, in a week's time, I'll just reach for the dates. I shall be in Chicago for the great BMS Expo, the Body, Mind, Spirit Expo. And I know that there are many, many people already booked in. I shall be speaking on August 16th and 17th. So what we can do is look into the website later for anybody to tune into.
Timing is perfect. There's a lot of, interest right now in things that will be useful for the next millennium. People who are wanting to go forward and saying, we have to make, I think, drastic change in the way that we view not only ourselves, but our cultures and our lifestyles and our impressions on the planet, and impressions in terms of physical impressions of the things we're taking rather than returning to our beautiful nest egg. You know, the thing I got this morning when I opened, worked with your cards, the first thing that came out was transmutation. And I thought that was okay. There's right on. That's spot on. And then the other thing, when I was doing the internet thing, the first thing that came up was a beautiful quote. And I love this. No pessimist ever discovered the secret of the stars or sailed to an uncharted land or opened a new doorway for the human spirit. That's a quote from Helen Keller. And so everything just came, continually to re-imprint and reinforce our conversation in this moment. And that's what I look to see. Am I on the path? Am I following my purpose? It doesn't have to be some big grandiose thing. It just has to be something as simple as staying in your heart. And that can be your purpose to a more extraordinary experience of life while you're here. And you don't get any guarantees of how long or with whom or what you will be doing. You just get this opportunity to say, wow, what is this? And go on from there. Then that's in my personal view of this. And I love the way you share your work and the insights again, with that sense of touching with the angelic realm. How do you know it's legit? How do you know it's real when you're connecting with these angels?
For the reasons that you've just stated, in the sense of the fact that, as we all know, that when we feel something very deep within our hearts, we simply know through the experience of feeling that it is real. Now, if there is a moment of hesitation, or if there is a frisson of questioning, is this really real? Then the mental body comes in. I think we need to be careful that the ego doesn't come in and try and fight, but just simply to question through a point of inquiry, but is this truly real? And then if the answer comes back, yes, this is truly real, the reason being that it actually resonates, these qualities of force resonate the greatest truth, the greatest purity, the greatest love, the greatest exhilaration, the greatest sense of desire, the greatest anticipation for the next moment, the greatest sense of empathy and compassion for other, as well as for the world of nature, that this exhilarates to such an extent that my life has suddenly been changed, that I feel completely different. This is real.
Part of it,
it feels
for me,
to me that you see, going back to the core of the wonderment that you were just sharing with us, that what's happened is that our educational system, that our societal processes to do with societal conditioning, have led us to believe that the only way that we can be effective in this world is if we're living in our heads. And it's palpably obvious that if we live in our heads, what we tend to do is to become hugely schismatic, meaning that we forget about what's going on within our bodies. We just feel that thinking is going to be the controlling force of our entire existence. And that's palpably not so. That what we need to do is to recognize that we're thinking, feeling beings, that we're spiritual beings on a human journey, which is essentially feeling. Of course, we all know this because we move ourselves into duress, where our bodies complain because they become sick or diseased. And then we go and see a health practitioner who says, but, you know, your body is toxic. And the reason why your body is toxic is because you're stressed out. You have not given yourself active relaxation for a very long period of time. When are you going to actually just be? When are you going to have a holiday? When are you going to actually recognize that your body needs to be exercised once a day? When are you going to stop drinking so much coffee and start drinking water? Because the coffee is literally toxifying your liver, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I just mentioned a few. And so we begin to recognize that we need to move back into our bodies, that we need to feel that, yes, the intelligence and the agility of our mental body is acute, if we can make it acute. But at the same time, if that's not actually balanced with the way that we're living in our hearts and feeling the dexterity of our hearts manifest what our loving capacities are all about in the world, then we're imbalanced. What we're beginning to recognize more and more and more through the esoteric practices and the ancient cultures of our planet, particularly the indigenous people of our planet, like, for example, in South America with the Maya, the Aztec, the Incan, and the Kogi Indians, that they are all telling us that the heart has a single eye. They know it as the Shante Ishtar, the single eye of the heart. And that the single eye of the heart is where the whole of their culture is based. In other words, every choice that they make, every decision that they make about their thinking and their feeling, they make from their heart. What we tend to do is to make it from our heads. And so the ego becomes involved in our heads, which says, shall I, shan't I, will I, won't I? I can't really make this decision. If we move into the heart always knows. The other day somebody said, well, what do you mean the heart always knows? And I said, well, very simply, when was the last time that you fell in love? And the person immediately became quickened by that question, and you could see that one could see that they were moving through something very, very extraordinary at remembering that whole process. And they were speechless. They were moved so deeply. And I said, wow, it was that intoxicating yet. So how did that feel? Absolutely amazing. Okay, now what are you feeling right now? Can you not see that the truth of this experience is that you're feeling something palpate through your being? You're feeling your pulse change, your breath rhythm affect you, and you realize that you're on a pathway of exhilaration that supersedes anything that you've known before. And I just love to drop in another thing, you know, Wendy, because as you said earlier, we play these lovely games with ourselves of using the tools or the apparatus that we have around us. And this is one of the reasons why the angels wanted to bring forth these two oracles. The first is the one that you have, the Angels of Atlantis. The second is, of course, produced by the Angels of Atlantis, but it's called the Angel Heart Sigils, where the angels have literally given us sigils, which are geometric patterns or forms that hold the essence of their hearts. So they've given us their hearts in geometric forms. And there you were, you know, shuffling the pack and choosing a card, and the card was transmutation. Well, I did the same thing before we came on air, and guess which card I got? Transmutation. I have a feeling that the angels are giving us a very, very extraordinary encoded message that we're feeling good about being in empathetic connection.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is really funny because as I was listening to you talk, the empathy and that sense of connectivity, yeah. I felt the resonance of your voice. And I'm thinking, yeah. This is why you do what you do. Because in that totally, innocuous manner, you are changing the vibration of someone who is listening and receptive to that element without doing anything. It doesn't matter what you say, amazingly enough. It's that beautiful harmonic that has been, charged and revitalized and invigorated by your life process that then takes others and lifts them to a higher plane and for me, that's how effective our lives are when we follow our heart and we do the things that we feel we are here purposefully to do. You demonstrate that.
Well, bless you. Bless you. It's very cherishing and nurturing to hear you say that. Thank you very much. I'm very honored that you've just said that.
Well, in this next segment, you offer some ways to connect mantras, meditations. Could you lead us in one in this next, we're going to take a quick break, but to kind of set the tone so that when one wants to reconnect and recollect this encounter and this moment, it just automatically comes into play, this transmutation of creating that I am into being, that I am intentionally manifesting my heart note. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, I can share with you a meditation that is referred to in the heart note, which of course is the book that arises out of The Alchemy of Voice, that The Alchemy of Voice is the first book that establishes the temple of sound healing. And at the core of the temple is this notion of the fact that we each have a note, our signature note, and that when we're sounding it, we move into our hearts.
Hold on. We're going to take a break.
This is
a good tease, all right? So we'll come back.
We can do that.
We'll come back and get into it, all right? You're listening to Stuart Pearce. I'm Wendy Garrett. This is Conscious Living on Empower Radio. Stick around.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg! Ha-ha! I win! Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
We Welcome back to Conscious Living on Empower Radio. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thank you for tuning in. And you know what? We were talking just before the break about getting into meditation and getting a perfect kind of a state to help, I think, refresh, restore, renourish, remind. Because a lot of this, I believe in my heart, we already know, and we came here for a purpose to get rid of some of the kinks that might be there in that soul blueprint and just help elevate us as consciousness, conscious beings in ways that we can't do unless we take this physical form. And so in order to do the thing right, we have to forget volumes of I ams and I knows and been there, done that's to get to the what if, how much can I do? What can I unconsciously and consciously expand my awareness to? And I have to be in a state of not knowing in order to be able to make this happen, this beautiful creation that I am bringing into being in some way. And so with Stuart, the process, what he talked about with meditation and that harmonic convergence and being there, meditating with other people, and yet having that incredibly powerful experience, it's accessible to each of us. Each one has this ability to connect. And once you make that connection, don't expect it, but just know it's possible. Once you make that connection, everything changes and life opens a new, in my way of thinking, a new petal on the rose that's just endlessly, I think, in some way, shape, or form, reassuring and challenging and full of wonder. So this is what I wanted Stuart to bring through with his words, his tones, his inflections, because I think he does that brilliantly. And so that's what I was asking. Whether it's impossible, I don't know. I don't really care. I think it's possible. So Stuart, on that happy note, make some magic.
Well, I think you've just made some magic, and that anybody who's listening in will be just feeling the extraordinary nature of the way that that the angels are moving through you, because it's very kind of you to say that this is what I'm doing. I'm merely a vessel or a conduit for the 12 angels of Atlantis to move through. So let's see what they have to say. Let's see what they have to show us. So for whomever is involved, whoever is listening into this, what I would love you to do is to find a position in which you can sit, feeling, now whether this is seated cross-legged on the floor or being seated on a chair, what I'd love you to do is to find a position in which you can sit where the whole of your body is aligned. And what this means if you're sitting in a chair is that your pelvis is very open, easily on the chair, and your feet are firmly on the floor. And if you need to remove shoes that are rubber-soled, then do, so that you just simply feel your feet against the floor, balancing into your knees, and then from your knees into your hips. So the pelvis, like a beautiful crucible, is really open. And then the spine is aligning itself out of this crucible of your pelvis. Now, this means that you need to have a cushion behind you to support your spine, or indeed it's possible to use the back of the chair without leaning back, then do. It's very important that your spine is as aligned as possible. Why? Because the whole energy of our neurological system flows through our spine. In effect, if the spine is bent, the brain is bent. So brain flows through your spine. Feel the shoulders are very free. And then bring the tip of your thumb and forefinger together on either hand and just let your hands sit on your lap. Close your eyes. Feel the length in your spine. And imagine that the whole of your spine is filled with a beautiful silver laser. We're using silver because silver is a very high electrical frequency of the soul and is generally speaking associated with the divine feminine. Gold is the masculine, silver is the feminine. So seeing this silver light, imagine it literally penetrating down through the base of your spine, through the floor that you're presently placed on, all the way down through the levels beneath you until you reach the basement or the Earth's surface beneath you, and then penetrate down with the laser through the Earth's surface, through the soil, through the clay, through the stone, and through the rock, deep into Mother Earth's womb. And notice how she comes to hold you with, through her own unconditional love. It's this force we call gravity that just magnetically draws you down where Mother holds you. And ask her for a gift, ask her for a blessing, ask her for a vision. And then siphoning that energy, her energy, up through the silver laser, through the rock, through the stone, through the clay, through the soil, through the earth's crust, through the basement of the building in which you're placed, through the varying levels, all the way up to where you are, and then siphon the energy that we've just received from Mother Earth into your heart's secret chamber as the laser continues up through your spine and then shoots off through the top of your head, through the building, through the atmosphere of the planet, off, 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 and seek out the brightest star in the night sky or the day sky, which will be Venus, the planet of love, and just anchor into Venus so that we're overshadowed and underpinned by the divine feminine. And we're now going to breathe. We're going to breathe really strongly into our bodies three times. And as you breathe, what I would love you to do is to not become tense in your shoulders or by lifting your upper chest. Conversely, not by just pushing the air into your belly, but by really feeling how the ribs open and then the breath goes deep into your stomach. And we're going to do this three times. So just let all the breath go. Feel the need to breathe. And then big breath in. And feel the breath like a silver light fill through all the whole of your being, including your feet. Pause and then let it go. Feel the need to breathe, and again breathe in, and feel it flooding in very effortlessly, all the way through you, feeling wide and deep with the breath. Pause, and then let it go. Wait, feel the need to breathe, and then breathe in. So the silver light gain just drenches the whole of your body. Pause, feel the need to let go, and then let it go. Empty, pause, feel the need, and once again, breathe in, and this time, let it go on a sound, which is empty, feel the need to breathe, and breathe in, this is the earth element sound. Empty, feel the need, and once again, breathe in the silver light, and feel this sound as browny red. Let it go, feel the need. When you need to, breathe in and lifting the sound to ooh. Empty, feel the need. And when you're ready, breathe in and who. Feel it flow through your solar plexus. Let all the breath go. Pause. Feel the need to breathe. And breathe in once again like silver waves. Ooh. Empty. Feel the need to breathe. And now we're going to lift it further. Silver light. This is blue in the throat. How the air element. And once again, breathe in, and last time, let all the breath go, feel the need to breathe, and once more, like a beautiful white light in your head, feel the need, and big breath in with the silver light. Let all the breath go, feel the need, and once more feel the fire, pure white light. Big breath in, and now sounding through your heart. So sounding the heart vowel, ha.
That was excellent. The other thing that I got from before when I drew a card to see how this was going to go today was beginnings. And the reason we connect with others who are doing this kind of work, and as we connect, we also integrate that awareness, that essence, and we become complementary co-creators. The reason we do that is because when you are doing your work, Stuart, and I'm doing my work, we add a new note, a new element that helps to complement everything in creation. So as you were doing that, I took the mic off so I wouldn't interrupt. So when anyone listens to this, they have the genuine, unadulterated version. But I wanted to do with you just for a moment to show people what this sounds like when it's complementary and someone else is tuning into you as you make these beautiful chants, these beautiful offerings of voice to spirit. So if you would give me a vibration that I could compliment you on, I can demonstrate that it isn't always going to be pretty, because sometimes we have blockages and we have things that when we first start, our voice isn't clear or our chakra may be needing some tuning. And that's how this works. So this is how I would like to demonstrate, if you would allow, how this works. If you could give me a sound that I could, again, compliment with you, I would like to try that.
So the sound is the one that we've been seeking, which is using the vowel ha, and the sound of ha just on the breath moving through the heart. And so it was the final sound that we used, which was ha.
Okay. Ha, 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 ha,
ha. So try it on a sustained. Yeah, there you are.
How does that, when you're tuning and when you're listening, my ha, ha, ha is different?
Well, because your voice is different to my voice, because of the resonance of the voice, but the pitch is the same. It's the same frequency. So if you were to sit in that feeling, because it's very warm in your chest, isn't it? It's very warm in the heart chakra.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you were to place your left hand on that, on your heart chakra, and just feel as though your hand is a microphone or indeed a pair of lips, and just simply say it through it, say, hello, my name is, right through your heart.
Out loud.
Yeah. So you just say, hello, my name is Wendy.
Okay, fine. I'm into the telepathy thing, but it doesn't work on the radio or when you're trying to do a show with audio only. First, I clear myself again.
Yeah. And
then there's a sense of wanting to go, because it's a gentle hello. I just want to say, hi. Hi. I'm Wendy.
And there you are, you see. Now, if you were to actually bring all of the breath into the sounding rather than using just part of the breath, you get this very, very full resonance of, hello, my name is Wendy.
Hello, my name is Wendy.
There you are, you see. This is that note. This is the heart note. Now, the interesting thing is that the more we sound it, the more we feel in our power, and then the more we try to filter ourselves out of our power, because often we're not used to sounding our power in the world. And it's largely to do with the fact that a lot of very strong people on the outside of us have taken our power from us. And I'm just introducing this in this moment, because this often happens with ladies, you know, in the sense of that what you're doing is literally moving into the great I am presence. And often there are men or other ladies that don't want you to do it. So if you were to say, hello, my name is Wendy.
Just out, hello, my name is Wendy.
Yeah, exactly, you see. But if you, what I'm sort of, and it's difficult because we're dealing with a transatlantic telephone call as well as recording through an instrument, that it alters the sound very slightly. Mm-hmm. But what I'm after is for you to give it a little bit more weight, a little bit more of the resonance from the abdomen.
Hello, my name is Wendy.
Hello, my name is Wendy.
Hello, my name is Wendy.
Because right. What you're doing is, hello, my name is Wendy. So you're closing off the breath a little bit.
You see? Hello.
And it's to do with the
opening. And
it's like, here we are, two actors playing a scene and we're feeling something that's really delicate. And so by what we're doing is we're indicating with our voices that it's really delicate. Uh-huh. And so what we end up doing is half voicing, you know, I really care about you. You know, you're very important to me.
Yeah.
But if I suddenly do this, you know, you're really important to me. I absolutely care about you. Then it sounds completely different.
I have to let go of my presentation, the sense of I'm in charge, to say, okay, relax and go back into receptive mode instead of demonstrating mode. And that's a different element when you go in, when I, as a presenter and an interviewer, say, okay, I'm going to be the recipient and I'm going to be the student and let me receive. Because there's that thing, that disconnect that I do as a presenter, to say, okay, get out of the way. Get out. And even though sometimes it might sound like I'm interrupting, I'm trying to take over. No. I'm actually trying to say, okay, get out of the way. Stop it. Allow.
But you know what's wonderful is that all that you've said was absolutely in your note.
Yeah. I'm being real. I'm being legit. No, this is real.
You've just done exactly what I was hoping would happen. And we as listeners can hear what just happened. Thank you so much. That was wonderful. That was fantastic.
I know how to do
it. And it feels really good.
It's
an expression of your power, doesn't it?
It's more, for me, that's more genuine and more of the real me. But I can't always get in that mode when I'm doing this kind of presentation. I do it when I channel. Then I get rid of me and I say, okay, take a break. There's no performance. There's just being, connection. And that is authentic. Make sense?
Wow. Absolutely. So, of course, what I'm asking is, in our lives, as we were sharing earlier, is if we can bring this into the whole of our lives, then the demarcation lines between this aspect of me and that aspect of me and this aspect of you and that aspect of you literally become much less defined, in the sense of the fact that we don't filter, we don't mask anything of ourselves. We just simply give the inclusivity of what our souls are wishing us to give. So we give pure love all the time.
And that's what I ask for with this particular presentation, is that reconnect, so that authenticity and that integrity and that divine essence has the freedom to shine. I want to ask you,
beautiful.
Stuart. Okay, so I get that lovely.
This is
just with me constant. I look around my house. These are my walls. This is my space. This lime green neon is a constant presence for me. And no matter how many colors I think are more beautiful and more pertinent and more, at the moment, expressive and self-revealing, this beautiful, beautiful neon lime green is my constant. How does that speak to you?
There are two considerations that immediately come to my being. The first is that the color green is associated with Raphael, the holy healer. And so I believe that Raphael is speaking to you through the light, this neon lime green. At the same time, it's not an intense emerald or malachite, which is a very dense form of green. It's this lime green, this very, very light pastel quality, but it's neon, it's brilliant, isn't it? And I believe it's the other part that I wanted to describe is that it's Raphael energy bringing through a very powerful cosmic influence for you. that is associated with the planet that you arise from other than planet Earth. So it's literally dealing with the very powerful divine nature of inspiration and intuition that pours through you in your humanness from the original form that is deep within yourselves, that you are a star being, a star seed.
Yeah, that's, I wanted to do the alien thing, but we don't have time.
Well, I can easily drop in that, you know, the angels are teaching me more and more and more about the fact that we are one of 24 civilizations living within this cosmos.
Let's do another show. Let's do another show, because this one was important to start and to set a tone and set, you know, but I do have to let you go. And I really, you are spot on. You are spot on. Stuart, thank you so much. And if you're listening, Stuart Pierce, you can check out all of his information. Just go to his website, okay? And The Alchemy of Voice is brilliant. You have alchemyofvoice.com. And we have to close on that happy note. I really appreciate all that you're doing.
Bless you. Thank you so much for this moment.
Thank you. Thank you. And thanks for listening to Conscious Living on Empower Radio.